Picture this. It's Saturday morning and you're on your John Deere compact tractor. You're effortlessly breaking ground on your new landscaping project. Next, you're moving piles of rocks just by moving a lever. And now, you're enjoying the warmth of the sun as you clear brush across your pasture. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand everything you can do with a John Deere compact tractor, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So, hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Why Not Mint Money. So today we have our guest as Mr. Mukesh Kochar, and he has been heading AM Capital and brings over 20 years of experience in handling alternative as well as traditional investment products like mutual funds. He has been managing large clients and family offices with his customized approach. And today he is there to speak on the central government's borrowing for the current fiscal year, which has prompted investors to turn their focus on particularly corporate bonds. Corporate bonds, because of that, have seen a huge demand recently. And this has led to increase in demand for corporate bonds. So he is going to today tell us, is this demand sustainable among the retail investors?
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Mukesh, just tell us quite a few things about this and we can go ahead with a few questions that I have.
So good morning, everyone. As you rightly said that the borrowing calendar, which you announced during this budget, was a very positive surprise for the market. The total borrowing was around announced was around 11 lakh crore compared to 14 lakh crore previous, more than 14 lakh crore last in the last fiscal year.
Okay.
So that is one, that supply is going to come down compared to last year. Which is very important. At the same time, we know that JP Morgan Index has added India into their index from June this year. So from June to March, we'll be getting good flow from this JP Morgan Index. That's a big point. Apart from JP Morgan, Bloomberg is also considering to add India in its global index, which is supposed to happen in September. So if that also happened, then again, the demand side will increase further. So we can see that supply is getting reduced. So that is win-win for Indian bond market first.
Right.
Again, we can see that inflation has peaked out a lot. And the guidance for the next financial year, monsoon is very, very positive. The initial guidance has been very, very positive. So that is a big relief towards inflation.
Okay.
Already it has peaked out and may soften further. Globally, inflation has also peaked out. So we expect the US also to start reducing rate by maybe August or some around that. The environment is very, very positive. Whenever interest rate peaks out and reverses, it's always better to invest in a bond or government securities or corporate bond, whatever it is, right? So that is interest rate and bonds are inversely related in terms of pricing. It is very good for the investor.
Right.
So by and large, we see that this year going to be very good for
bonds.
Bond investments, yeah.
Yes, so a few things from a retail investor perspective. Let's say I am a retail investor, Mukesh. Okay. So how can investing in bonds can benefit me or benefit my portfolio? And why should I look at bonds? Because bonds people see as a traditional investment, and the people have a mindset that equity is giving a higher return always. So how can a retail investor approach this trend, and how can he can benefit this bonds from this portfolio?
Sure. So this is all about it's very, very true that over a long term period, equity is going to outperform all the other assets, that's for sure.
Right.
At the same time, everybody has to maintain their asset allocation, because a lot of discipline is required for your portfolio building, right? So asset allocation is the most important discipline which everyone, particularly retail investor, has to keep in mind, basically. So equity is always for long term. Any money which is there for 5 year, 10 year kind of, maybe even longer period of ideal money can be put into equity. The debt part is for the protection of that your certain money is not vulnerable to various market conditions, and ups and downs are not that very high frequent, that much high. So you have to get a stable flow also from one part of your overall portfolio. So that is what debt can do to your portfolio, right?
Okay.
Second, in a year like this, where interest rate is getting reversal, you can assume a very reasonable kind of return in debt. So if you are investing in a very longer maturity debt, then the return can't be in double digit also, based on the interest rate reversal capital gain which may arrive in that particular bond, apart from the normal coupon or YTM, whatever it is, right? So that is one. Secondly, whenever equity got expensive, so you have to rebalance your equity portfolio and move some part of your equity portfolio to debt, so that your overall allocation remain aligned to your overall goal over a long term period of time. So that is very important.
So as you say that, you think the entire purpose of having bonds in your portfolio, be it corporate bonds or government bonds, is like to have the basic asset allocation in place, right? And also to benefit from, as and when the rate cuts happen, like it leads to, since there is an inverse relation between interest rates and bonds, you can benefit from capital appreciation is what you have to say, right?
Yeah, that is one. And also regular cash flow can also be there with bonds, which equity won't provide you.
Regular cash flow.
Right.
Bonds, so that is provide some regular cash flows. Okay.
Yeah, like Government of India securities provide half yearly interest to the investors. Many corporate bond provide maybe annual. Some of them are even monthly also. So in that way, the people who require regular cash flow can put some part of it into that.
Okay. So, but then Mukesh, people look at that. They think investing in debt funds is much easier than investing in bonds. So could you help the listeners to make the difference and how to make this process easier, and just to educate them on this, that why should one opt for the bonds instead of debt mutual funds, and how easy or how which process looks better?
Sure. It's a little difficult for retail to go directly into bond, but there are a lot of platforms are available at this point of time where you can go and buy bonds.
Like,
I will come to that platform. I just want to complete this, that when you are buying a mutual fund, so, and when you are buying a bond, there is a difference. There's a huge difference. The difference is that there used to be a indexation benefit after 3 years in debt mutual fund, which has been removed. Right. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So there is no tax advantage at this point of time. You have to pay full tax as per your slab. Right. Whereas if you are investing directly in bond, then the coupon you are earning is taxable as per your slab. But if you get any capital gain out of sell of those bonds in the market after 1 year, that will attract only 10% of tax. So that is huge saving you are making. Right. If you are paying a big larger amount of tax, then you are saving a lot over here. Secondly, you are paying a regular expense to your mutual funds, like maybe it's 50 paisa or 80 paisa or 1%, whatever it is, depending on the fund you are choosing. Yeah. So you are paying every year, you are paying that sum to the mutual fund AMC, right? But when you are buying directly bond, then you are hardly paying anything, and you are paying just one time fee for buying that, and also at the time of selling. But it save your huge cost actually. Mm. So it's win-win for the investor basically.
Absolutely.
The only problem is they're unable to find right bond. They're unable to, the main challenge is if you go, if you identify the wrong bond and chase any return,
so,
might lost your entire capital.
Right.
So that is big risk.
That was about to be my next question exactly. So in debt mutual funds, the process looks quite simple. You can just go on your, broking platform or, the platform you use for MFN. You can just type in the debt fund and the debt funds appears on the screen. But how does one go about selecting which bond is right for them, and how do they assess the risk associated with the bonds?
We as a OHM Capital always suggest to go for either Government of India securities, which is sovereign, and either AAA bonds like SDFC or LIC Housing or something like that. So we don't recommend any bond below maybe AA rated. But the problem is, like I said, many platforms are available at this point of time, like Giraffe, UB, Incred. They sell bond online. For retail investor, but 90% now, maybe 95% of these bonds are very AAA rated or A rated or A minus rated. So the rating profile of these bonds are very risky, basically.
Okay.
So, but the YTM return is around maybe 10, 12, 13% kind of return they're offering to the investor. So retail investor might not understand that kind of risk these bonds are carrying, and may get into these bonds and may stuck at any point of time. So we never recommended these kinds of bond to our clients. We always recommend, and in the scenario where the interest rate, there are two kind of risk in any bond, right? One is credit risk and one is interest rate risk, right? So credit risk is the default, is the risk which the issuer might not pay you the redemption or interest, right? And the interest rate risk is the risk where price of the bond can can go down because of rise in interest rate, right? So in the second, this interest rate risk, at this point of time, I don't think any interest rate risk is there because we see interest rate going down from here onwards rather than going upward, right? So it's better to take an interest rate call at this point of time rather than a trade call.
Yeah,
that's very clear from our side. Yeah. So you can buy GSEC, that is available on the NSE side also. You can go to NSE website. In fact, the weekly auctions happens in RBI portal. Retail investor can register there and can buy GSEC from that portal also in the auctions.
Right. So in short, you are saying that, you know, investors should stick to only either buying the government bonds or they should don't buy any bonds which are below AA rated. Okay.
Yeah.
How does a post-tax, post-expense return look like in a debt fund, and how does the same return, knowing that you said, okay, there is an indexation benefit, you know, how much is the difference? Like, can you just roughly tell?
Suppose you're buying a mutual fund which is having 10-year maturity.
Correct.
Or government of securities, right? So 10-year maturity comes down to around 6-year modified duration. So if a 0.5% interest rate reduced, then around 3% capital gain comes out of that. Right.
Okay.
And the coupon is around 7.05. So by and large, suppose this happened in 1 year, then you are making around 10% of return minus expense. You say around 9% of return is expected in next 1 year in this kind of structure of mutual fund debt, right? This 9% is totally taxable in the hand of investor. If they suppose, I assume that 25% taxation or 30% taxation, whatever you can assume.
Right.
So if a 30% taxation is there, then around 6.25 kind of post-tax return you are making.
Right.
Out of this in right,
yeah.
Whereas if you are buying a government of India securities of similar maturity of 10 years, then what happens? The 3% capital gain which you are making is taxable at 10%.
Okay, after 10%.
So you are making 2.7 there
after a year, right?
Yeah, after a year, right?
Yeah.
And so 2.7 there, and coupon will 5. So 5 plus 2 and around 7.5 plus tax free return post tax, right?
Yeah.
So the return difference can be 1 to 1.5% kind of post-tax basis. And I'm telling you in a conservative way, but it can be even much higher.
Right. Okay. So this makes things pretty much easy. So, almost 1.5% is the difference what is a retail investor can look at here. And what is usually the ticket size of these bonds, you know? Because in a debt mutual fund, the ticket size can be as low as 1,000 rupees. So how does this the minimum ticket size look like?
That is one big one very fair point, that the lower ticket size is not in these bonds. And generally, GSECs are available in 10 lakhs lots, but although they can be 2-3 lakhs lot also, but generally they are not very liquid in 2-3 lakhs lot actually. So 10 lakhs lot is most liquid in reasonably liquid in GSECs, or maybe any bond. Corporate bonds.
Ah, okay, got it. So 10 lakhs is what a least minimum ticket size is what is
right. There. But like I said, that some triple B or A rated papers, which many platforms are offering, they are offering at 1 lakh multiple. And even 50,000 also. So they are selling to retail investor. To the investor who do not understand the risk, underlying risk in that particular NCD or bond.
Okay. So, and what are some platforms, you know, where people can just go and buy these bonds, and how easy it is?
There are many platforms. There are many platforms like UBI, Giraffe, Inkred is having one platform. There are bond, INR bond. There are many platforms. In fact, Om Capital is also providing one platform, Om Bonds. There.
Sure.
So there are many platforms which offers these kinds of bonds. But we won't recommend to a retail investor because they don't understand the risk underlying risk in those platforms basically. In Om Capital, this thing, you will only find reasonable, good quality of bonds only. We don't offer any lower category
bonds. Risky bonds, okay. So what are your thoughts on like people who would like to still look at the risky bond, like the people who are AA rated and below? You think that space is getting traction and should people look at it?
Yeah, we are the place is definitely getting traction, particularly from this large HNI, ultra HNI people. In fact, retail investors are also attracting towards that because of high interest rate they are getting out of this. Maybe 10, 12, 13% return is attracting them a lot. And I think that will continue to happen until any big event happens like DHF or something like that. And at this point of time, I think it's too far, such event. But personal loan segment, particularly the companies, the NBFCs, which are in personal loan segment, might be at risk maybe 2-3 years later from here. So, and most of these bonds are from smaller NBFCs who are managing around 800 crore, 1200 crore, 2000 crore of this thing. So 80-90% are NBFCs only. There are hardly any manufacturing company or any, most of these are new age companies basically.
Right. And any,
although there are some good name, I would just add here that even there are some good name which are well structured,
if you can name them, yeah,
like maybe Bellstar is there, which is well structured, but every structure, every individual entity structure you have to review based on their security structure which has been created. So in fact, a name can be good, but the security structure may not be that good. So you have to understand the entire thing. So that is very difficult for retail investor. I would tell retail investor to completely avoid this thing because they won't understand the risk reward or they won't be able to analyze these things. Yeah.
So, okay. So how does one retail investor, like, you know, they can get to decide what are some 2-3 things that you can, or probably 4-5 things are looking at these parameters, okay, so a retail investor can decide, apart from what you said, it has to be either sovereign or AAA, and what other things should a retail investor do?
Sure. So rating is definitely important. Apart from that, the security, the important thing that the tenure should not be much larger because these are very new age companies and they have not track records of long term. Mm-hmm. So you can take a chance for maybe 1 year, 1.5 year or so, but don't take a bonds maturing 5 years, 7 year kind of in these kind of category first. That is very important. Secondly, the security structure, what kind of security has been placed with the trustee of that particular NCD, or who is the trustee and the trustees is well known or not, that is very important. And the security which has been placed is liquid or not, that is very important. You can refer to the rating rationale of that particular company, which will highlight the risk part of it. You can read that risk part, so that will help you out key what are the risk part in that particular segment of bond.
How does the liquidity look like, Mukesh? Like, how does the liquidity works in the bonds?
So these like names index, which are
right, like index mutual funds, the liquidity looks like, you know, if someone can put the money and they can have the money back within T+1. I think so. Yeah, T+1. How does the liquidity look like in the bonds if someone can invest in bonds? How fast they can remove the money if there is any urgency, something like that.
Sure. So these BBB, A+, these kinds of bond are very, very liquid. So you might or might not get any buyer for a long period of time. So that is very risky in terms of liquidity. Sovereign bond is liquid. So that can be liquidated in 1 day only. So that is there.
But you're talking about the AAA bonds.
BBB, the lower rating, BBB, A+, A-, those kinds of bonds.
So which bonds are very liquid? Like, you know, if you can just tell. If people can...
Sovereign gold is the most liquid one. Mm-hmm. Then the AAA one like HDFC or something like LIC Housing or Tata, something like that. Mm-hmm. Those bonds are liquid.
Okay.
So we always prefer to go with a liquid bonds rather than a illiquid bonds.
Okay. So the most... so the thing is to just summarize... if these people who are looking at liquidity needs as well as they should expect some better post expense returns, they must go for either sovereign bonds or AAA corporate bonds, right? That's what you said.
Right. I'm sure. And the retail investors can also consider this debt mutual fund. The tax advantage is not there, but I guess their tax slab may not be that high. Right. So in that sense, they can also look at that debt mutual fund also, because that is convenient for them. They're easy to invest. They're easy to redeem. The return is also, in next 1 year, they will also give good return. The only thing is, if you are paying very high tax, then there is a problem. That's the only thing. Yeah.
Okay. Fair. So, all right. So we have covered most of the things, I think so. So as you say that someone who is not on that on a higher tax slab, they can opt for debt mutual fund, but someone who is basically has having a higher tax slab, they can go for this
sovereign bond,
gold bonds or AAA bonds. Okay. And yes, I think that covers most of the things, Mukesh. Thank you so much. And the last, lastly, I would, you know, want you to just tell us more about how does one understand that, okay, this is a good time to invest in bonds now, or this is a good time to invest in equity, and what trends they should look at particularly.
So for bond, it's very easy. Whenever you feel that interest rate is, there is a last rate hike happens in somewhere, or you say you feel that the central banker is indicating that there is no more rate hike, okay, that's the time to enter into bond. That's the time to enter into bond. And you should not wait till the bank will start reducing the rate and all. So because market is very advanced, market always discount everything in before, right? So just try to invest just around last rate hike.
Right.
So whenever rate hikes and the bond market will rally. So that is the point of entry. And the point of exit also you must know, because if you fall in a bad cycle, you will again lose your earned return. So whenever you feel that interest rate has bottomed out, central bank is giving the guidance of that kind of thing, or inflation is picking, inflation may be increasing in some part of the world, crude is increasing, or some pressure on rupees. So you can always. I think central bank is the best way to look at. What they are saying is I think.
Right. So few things like rate cuts. I mean, even the rates are at their peak. Okay, and they might start rate cutting anytime soon. The central bank. Second is you must look at inflation. If the inflation is at peak, as well as the rates are at peak, that's the best time to invest in bonds. Is what you say.
Yeah, we expect US to cut rate by maybe August, and RBI maybe by November, December. So that is one. Secondly, the inflation has picked down and already started coming down globally and India also. Second half, we expect around 4.5% kind of average inflation, and RBI target is around 4%. I think that is expected maybe post the next calendar year. So we would be close to rate cut around December or January maybe by that point of time.
And if let's say the last question I have is let's say if I invest in bonds, is there any place, any statement or something which I can get, you know, as a retail investor after investing?
So directly? bonds. Sure, I got it. So bonds generally created are available in Demat account only, right? So you buy bonds and it gets created in your Demat account. So the only statement you are getting is the date in your Demat. Yeah.
Right. So apart from this debt, apart from these platforms like you named, okay, one can also buy the AAA bonds and the government bonds in the Demat as well.
Yeah, all these bonds, either you buy from this platform or from this auction of Government of India Security or NSE platform, all are going to come in Demat only.
All are going to come in Demat. Okay, you need
Demat. There's no physical bonds are not available anymore.
Okay, nice. So that answers most of the questions on the demand for bonds, and how does can a retail investor, how should a retail investor should look at this, and how can they go ahead and benefit from this trend. Thank you, Mukesh, so much. If there is anything which you would want to know people, you can just go ahead with it. For real time, just done with the questions.
I think entire thing has been covered. I've touched upon, I think, everything. So.
Okay. Mukesh, I'm looking forward to have more podcasts or work with you in terms of any course.
Sure.
It was a nice conversation with you.
Same, Manager. Same. Nice talking to you as well.
Nice talking to you.
So this brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to know more on this topic, you can reach out to me on my Twitter, which is @postyanil, or on my LinkedIn using my full name, that is Anil Posty. We will be happy taking your suggestions. Thank you for tuning in. That's all from our side. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
From From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.